Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of December. Is this the short day?
Or it tomorrow? It is. Today's the good news is from here on out, the days get longer every day.
Well, for 6 months.
Right.
And then you're a liar.
Right. Well, we got 6 months of, yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's a good thing.
Yes. Greg Foster is with us this morning. Are you ready for your question?
Yeah, what do we got? Why do you say it? Yes?
New book.
A new book, yeah.
New book, yeah. This one.
And I think I got the last one, but it was kind of a softball, and I can't remember exactly what it was.
Let's see. I got circus. Why do we say circus?
Well, it's Latin. There's circus maximus, probably means in the circle or something like that.
Okay, you got that phrase. It's in here.
Yeah.
So now I know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. it's Latin, and I know they had the Circus Maximus, and I suspect that it has to be circle has to do with maybe the way the Colosseums and everything else. I don't know. I'm guessing here.
Life under the Caesars wasn't centered entirely upon war and conquest. Partly to keep common folk content, rulers built in the capital city a vast sports arena.
Yes.
Shaped like a huge circle.
Oh, hey! All right.
Or circus.
Yes.
Rome's biggest structure gained international fame as
Circus Maximus.
There you go. Males and females were separated at most public assemblies. Not so when they went to the Circus Maximus. There they mingled freely and saw many lavish spectacles. Long used to designate any structure built for sport or entertainment, the Roman name shifted from buildings to performance staged in them. When Phineas T. Barnum added acrobats with jugglers to long traditional equestrian acts, the modern traveling circus was born.
So I think I get that one.
I think that's a gift from Santa Claus.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That was easy.
There you go.
Yeah,
I got the that was easy button. Perfect.
Good. And you just missed out on double take.
Oh.
Good move.
Yeah, there you go.
There's goon in there, too.
Goon?
Yeah. It probably has some kind of...
I've been described that way.
Reference from the bayou.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to even know what that comes from.
So, Cher Ferndale. For those of us that weren't in Ferndale, how did yesterday's event transpire?
Well, you know, I was in Eureka, and my phone made that EBS alert noise because I signed up for that earthquake thing, and it was... interesting, it actually came on just as this, or maybe just before the shaking. You know, my reactions are pretty slow. But, yeah, so then I went back down to my house in Ferndale, which had, and then I swept up broken glass and rearranged furniture and things for a while. There was, you know, a fair amount of, you know, inconvenient, but not major damage, it appears, on Main Street. I cruised through there and saw a number of businesses with their plate glass windows that were broken, and they were taping them off or putting up plywood. You know, what's really great, though, is I heard stories of people going over to the market and going over to Golden Gate and some of the other places, and, you know, the liquor store, anything that had a lot of stuff come down and help put everything back up on the shelves, and so they got right back open. And
kind of like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah, you know, Ferndale's used to earthquakes.
I'll take aisle three this time.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, it shook great, and you know, I mean, I've lived here all my life, so I'm no stranger to earthquakes. But it's always so interesting how when you go into your house and you find damage, how some things are completely untouched, and then you see furniture that's moved 6 inches, it's fascinating. I wish I had closed circuit cameras in my house so I could see exactly how all this is happening and transpiring. You know, how a glass can stay on a counter, but you know, in another room, a piece of furniture's moved 6 inches. And,
yeah,
But my son's got a physics major, so he knows this probably.
Can he help
better,
you out?
He probably could if I asked him. But
that gets back to the memory thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have him help me out, like with the actual physical chores, than. Theoretical,
a physical major,
yeah,
not
right,
a physics
exactly,
major,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. It was interesting. You know, the rolling versus the jolt.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's probably the delineation for a lot of us. You know?
Right, right.
I'm always curious how infrastructure survives.
Right.
You know, if you get a little wiggle in some of the stuff inside the house, or the house moves, what about the streets? What about the pipes under the streets?
Right.
How are they built in? You know, unless that was critical design from 50 years ago, or
right.
You know, lucky stupid. Why don't we see fissures in the streets and, you know, unexpected fountains and things like
that? Yeah, well, sometimes we do, but fortunately not this time, I don't think.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. So, Greg, what kind of year with all of the challenges?
Yes.
With all the government largesse, with this, all the different things that were going on, do we really know what kind of year 2021 was for the business community?
You know, we always, you know, the year for a lot of retailers, it's always been, you know, the, you know how your year goes when you know how your Christmas goes, right? And so we will have some more clarity around January, I suspect, when people, you know, a lot of people just really make their nut.
But that was also the old days when we had retail.
True.
Yeah, and we don't have.
We don't have as much. We do have, you know, I mean, I was walking around Old Town, you know, the other day, and there's, you know, there's a fair number of even new retailers down there that.
Yeah, Humboldt State doesn't count.
Well, I'm not talking about them, but yeah, they do have a store now, but, you know, that whole strip, except for the corner where the Ritz is filled up. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people down there. And, you know, I went to Artists Alive in early, what was it, December 4th, and there were a lot of people downtown. So, you know.
The itch is there.
Yeah. And, I think people are stepping up and understanding that, especially in these tough times, that shopping local is – you know, it's really in all of our best interests. And I've done it for years just because, you know, I believe it in A, and B, it's sort of central to my job.
Supporting your own, yeah.
Right. But, you know, this year I took a, you know, Saturday and shopped in Ferndale. And, you know, I was able to get something for pretty much everybody in my family. And it's unique. It's, you know, locally made or locally
designed.
It's not
designed. Just something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you know, so much of the, you know, there's so much of the stuff you get for Christmas, I think, or people get, you know, they go and they go to Amazon or whatever else and they, oh, that looked great. You know, they buy it. It's an impulse buy. And, you know, 6 months later, it's like, oh, you know, whatever. But, you know, I have presents.
It goes to the land of misfit toys.
Right. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Let's keep it in theme here.
But, you know, we're helping ourselves. We're helping our, you know, I think we all value having storefronts open and having businesses here and having, you know, some, you know, dynamism in our downtowns and all that. And as individuals, we're part of that. We contributed to that. And so.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. You know, you can't complain about empty storefronts and also buy all your stuff online.
There's a great line I stumbled on yesterday. It's been kicking around for about a year or so. Buy from a store with a door.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
It's like that kind of sums it all up in a little cutesy way.
Well, you know, the other night, and I'll tell the story, but I'm not going to reveal the business just yet, but the other night we were running a movie at the Eureka Theater.
You out there. You need to go to the tailor for your tux. There's a little bit more Greg than there was.
Yeah, well, you know.
As I was walking by with two pizza boxes.
Yeah, there you go.
Salads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I didn't feel like it was time to chime in on that.
It was cold out there. I was wearing extra underwear. But our and quite old popcorn machine died. And so so we were able to borrow one. Les Schwab was nice enough to give us one of their tiny ones comparatively. But I had a local business owner. I said, I'm sorry about the popcorn, because I announced the movies, you know, and we're trying to catch up, but our popcorn machine blew up, and boy, it's, you know, almost 50 years old. And
yeah, that was part of it.
Right. And this business owner came up to me afterwards and says, call me about replacing that popcorn machine. Now, that's a local business, right? And that's a local business owner. And it's not like Jeff Bezos walked up to me and said, hey, you know, great movie, talk to me about replacing your popcorn machine. And so so that's why we do it, right? Because we're not going to see these, you know, other kinds of, you know, non-local or national or online retailers.
Out of the area, guys.
They're not going to invest in our community, and these businesses do. So, So I think it's good. I mean, we had a great year at the airport, obviously.
Yeah, there's lots of really cool wins, but right. Just kind of an overall tenor. You know, the restaurants certainly adapted and did some cool stuff, but others weren't able to find help.
Yeah. So, well, and that's our biggest challenge as we go into 2022, I think, is labor force. You know, the size of our labor force in Humboldt County is still lower than it was in 2019 by, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 people.
Numbers of employed?
No, the numbers of employed are coming up. It's the actual size of the labor force. So there's, you know, when you do an unemployment rate, there's a number of employed. And then you have the size of the labor force, which is, you know, it's a statistical survey kind of thing.
How was that defined?
You know, they use all sorts of data for that, but they adjust it every year or every month. And part of it is, you know, who's out there in their system looking for work and all that. But there's also, they do some other statistical analyses that kind of come up with it. So it's, you know, it's an estimate, obviously.
They must be blind if they're looking for a job.
Right. Well, and that's just it. Well, and we have very few that are officially unemployed right now because, you know, people have jobs. But we need more labor. Obviously, we need more people here to work. And it's, you know, from everywhere in the career chain, you know, and almost any kind of business. And then housing, I think, is a huge one.
You think?
I do think.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. So, Greg, the restaurants, I suspect, are one of those businesses that are a real barometer of the health of a community in a bunch of different areas.
Absolutely.
How would you, on a five-point scale, grade the overall financial condition of our local restaurants? I mean, there's a normal turnover that seems to happen.
Right.
You've got the silent partners working the bars. And I mean, some of those types of things that are just endemic with the industry. But there seems to be some that have done very well with creativity, and others that have packed it in. And maybe this was the reason why.
Yeah.
Or an excuse. And everybody in between.
You know, I think that's always true of the restaurant industry. It's just that the circumstances with COVID and everything it amplified that. So, you know, we saw some that just immediately sort of turned on a dime and got really creative. I think about one of my customers, which is Six Rivers Brewery. You know, Meredith and Talia up there right when all this happened, you know, did all sorts of things to get people there, and that included moving outside and built, you know, new patios, and people came to help. And the other thing they did, which was, I think, really, really nice, is they said people still want to go out. People, you know, and even more, I think, even during COVID, you know, you spend a few days at home by yourself and you're like, I have an itching to get out. I got to do something else. So, and you could do it outside. What they did was they also, you know, dedicated part of their space to other businesses, not necessarily food businesses, to sell products, so that they knew people were coming in and they could do, you know, use that to help. Yeah, it was great. And it seems counterintuitive, but it's really worked for them. They have a food truck out there that specializes in, you know, it's a local fish company that
you can say it.
Yeah, well, and Loco Fish Company.
We say it
right
probably about five times a day with their ads. So
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, and what's great is, you know, they sell things that are complementary to the menu. They don't,
not competitive.
Right, and so. Yeah. You know, I guess their belief is, well, they're still, you know, buying beer and stuff at the bar, and they might have, you know, have some things off our menu and some things off of theirs.
Kind of like a food court concept.
Yeah. And so, you know, and in Old Town, it's funny because what was done temporarily was like, oh, well, we'll make do with eating outside is now like, that was really kind of cool. So, which is, you know, true in other cities, obviously.
Yeah. Have those been able to be maintained, or are they getting beat up?
No, I've seen, like, Seagrill put a brand new, you know, they had the one in their parking lot, and they was kind of a temporary one. Now they have a permanent outside eating area on the street. They took one of the parking spaces. Old Town Coffee and Chocolate did the same. You know, I see the Green Lily now. They're not as much outside now, but what was really neat is they needed more space to spread out, so they took over the interior of the old Jimmy Dunn's and fixed it up. So,
which kind of hacks me off that the outside hasn't been cleaned up.
Well, you know.
I just saw that it looks...
There are... You know, well, and we've talked here before about...
Issues,
some landlords are better than others in this town, and that's unfortunate. even the shanty, they have a food trailer now, and that's been very popular. So, you know... Creativity out of desperation, I guess. Innovation through desperation, I guess, is the phrase. Is that helped? And I think those people did well. At the Oberon, they have outside. There's some street appeal too. I think about Tuyas in Ferndale.
Right.
Glory and Jennifer there have done a good job. They've taken over part of the sidewalk. The city allowed them. Now there's a lot of light on the sidewalk. It looks nice when you walk by, and so they can put people out there solely if they have to, or they can do both.
Now, it's interesting. Is it the entrepreneurial spirit of the business operator, or is it the government restrictiveness becoming flexible?
Yeah, I think it's both, right? I think it's both.
This stuff couldn't have happened 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago.
Right, right.
Now we've got pedestrian safety, we've got health, food concern, and there would have been a myriad of excuses reasons why not.
No, I agree. And, you go to other communities or even other, overseas, and you see food carts and street food and,
activity
outdoor
on the
cafes
street.
And everything, all that activity on the street. And I think that, for the fear of liability or whatever else, we tend to sort of beat the soul out of our communities, right? And it's sort of like going into someone's house and, all the couches are covered in plastic and you don't sit in that room. That's our good living room. You can't go in there, right? That's not for people.
Yeah.
You
had an interesting upbringing, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My house definitely was not like that. We lived across from the high school and my parents were school teachers. We had teenagers flopped around all the time. But it's you think about the sort of stereotypical, the grandma, it's like, don't sit on that couch. That's the guest couch,
right.
And it's like, oh, this is, grandma's is boring. Now, fortunately, neither of my grandmothers were like that. But I think that's true. I mean, the what makes cities and downtowns alive is just a little bit of chaos, right? If not, and a little bit of soul.
Yeah, there's a little vibrancy.
Right. And you need that. So when you overregulate and and try to make everything look the same. That's why I don't like you go to some of these Bay Area, you know, new downtowns that they've done, and you walk in and you go, oh my gosh, everything here looks the same, you know, and so it's boring, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah, it's predictable. I mean, if it's what you like,
right,
then you got a lot of it,
right.
If it's not what you want,
exactly,
you go to another location.
For me, it doesn't work. And so, you know.
What about speakers? Nobody's really done speakers outside. You know.
Yeah, which I love music on the street.
I would think, yeah, even if it was just small little backgroundy.
Yeah.
That might be kind of a nice little twist, unless it's prohibited. You know, what would they call it? Noise?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you know, this is an extreme example, but I was going back and forth in New Orleans for quite a while because we had a condo down there, and talk about, you know, life on the street. And I'm not just talking about Bourbon Street, but it was like everywhere you went,
it's
there
part
was
part of the culture,
right? It was part of the culture. It's like we're here to have, you know, fun, and it's vibrant, and there's a real diversity in architecture, and you know, for the most part, people took pride in their buildings. You know, we have. And I almost every day I take a walk around Old Town and downtown, and you know, people, I think people get confused between, oh, our town isn't doing well, when actually what they're looking at is building owners that aren't doing
right.
what they need to do to fix their buildings up, you know, or sell them,
just either empties or
move or get out of the way,
looking,
right, and they just let them decay. And so you see these, you know, places where the, you know, the building is terrible, there's camping, there's garbage, there's everything else, and you go, oh my gosh, Eureka as a community is having a hard time. And really what it is no, that one person or a family or whatever else has a marquee building potentially or a high visibility building, and they're just not doing anything with
it. But in that district, it is.
Right.
Because
right,
of that
right.
one or two.
Absolutely. Yeah, and yeah. so, you know, I'm hopeful that, quite honestly, that we can take maybe a slightly more assertive approach, if not aggressive approach, with some of those buildings and say, listen, you know, we want to help you, right?
It's time.
But it's time. You can't just let it sit another 20 years.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Joining us this morning is Mr. Foster. So, Greg, with some of the pressures that we're experiencing now with gas, with resources, what are they calling it now, the scarcity economy,
right,
et cetera, what does that portend for restaurants and regular businesses in an area isolated like ours where we are going to be getting more pressure as Humboldt builds out,
right,
as we're getting the Nordic Farms thing and the... The fiber internet stuff starts to fluff out also. You mentioned you like fluff out?
Fluff out. That's
yes, okay.
I haven't heard that in the economic term, but you know, that's
Everybody's familiar with the housing issue.
Right.
And the infrastructure associated with it. You know,
right.
Transportation, blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But this other thing that's popped up in the last little bit, the inflation at, what, 12, 14%? Measured in, you know, 80s terms,
right?
Unemployment, lack of labor that is willing to work. I mean, all these things kind of seem to be swirling in there that we would be busting at the seams, but now we're not quite there.
Yeah, who is it? Is it Rosanna Dana or Emily Latellis? If it's not one thing, it's another, right? And if it's not one thing, it's another. And you know, we
love 40-year references. By
yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah.
We're right there. Winston,
date myself.
It just went right
exactly.
over his
He's
head.
Like, who's that?
Yeah.
You know, we have tremendous opportunities coming. I mean, you know, the Humboldt State thing is huge, right? It's going to have
it after it's been here.
Right, right. Well, even now, I mean, they're spending money now, right? And
but you don't see it.
Not quite yet. Well, depends on where you're looking, right?
Yeah, just general guy on the street, you don't see
right,
it.
Right,
you're seeing the old buildings that are falling apart and aren't being painted and you know, that stuff.
But there's a tremendous amount of, I mean, you know, as they say, you know, capital flows where there's perceived value, right, or actual value. And even at the airlines and the university and Google and Nordic and the wind energy, you know, there's clearly something that all these people see.
Yeah, something's going on.
That drives capital here. And that's a good thing. We can reinvest in the things to help the people that live here. But we do have big infrastructure challenges. And you know, traditionally we think, you know, roads and electricity and water and sewer is infrastructure. But housing and labor, we need to have, I think, in my opinion, just a laser focus on this. And I was on a call yesterday, in fact, and it was a statewide call. And the person was saying, well, you know, and we're talking about Humboldt County, and like, well, you know, what do we do to really attract more businesses or get more businesses here? And I said, well, you know, that is part of what we do. But I said, if we do that without addressing these other issues, we are just going to be stealing people from other businesses, or the business owners are going to be very frustrated because they don't have what they need, which in the old days it might have been broadband or transportation or some of these other things. And now it's like, we just got to find people. And so it is a drag on our economy. And we need to get creative and aggressive on, you know, how and where we build housing for people and how we get people here who want to work. And it's not like we have people here who don't want to work, because our unemployment rate's really pretty low, and there's a lot of job openings still. So
that phrase, actively seeking employment,
right?
That factors in there somewhere.
Yeah, there that's in there as well, but. You know, so we've got great opportunity, but with, you know, as the old saying goes, with that comes great challenge. And
yeah, we'll see what the great next year brings for us.
There you go.
Thanks
on to 2022.
See everybody tomorrow.